he was a very prolific writer. He would write, spend about in the region of about 6 hours per day writing in the very early hours of the morning. And another significant achievement in his life is that he discovered, along with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, the actual birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was formerly covered by the Ganga. And so that is a significant achievement. And he introduced many innovative ways for preaching the science of Krishna consciousness. He was a preacher. He was the pioneer preacher. He is the pioneer of the Krishna consciousness movement. He's the great general. He's the one who started it all. And particularly the Nam Hatha preaching. And His Holiness Japataka Maharaj has really pushed this program very wonderfully throughout the world, because it's a simple way of innovative preaching which doesn't require buildings, it doesn't require much money, it doesn't require much of anything other than just going and meeting people in their houses and getting people to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So therefore it is called the Nam Hatha Congregational Preaching, which is actually throughout, I don't have all the statistics at hand, but throughout the throughout ISKCON, the Nam Hatha preaching is actually a very powerful preaching tool, because of its outreach, because it's able to reach many people. And we're finding that many devotees are springing up from the Nam Hatha preaching. So all the Nam Hatha preachers out there, congratulations for your wonderful efforts in pushing this program which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur started. Today we're going to hear more of the glories of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I have some notes here which I will read from, and then occasionally speak a little something on those notes. But one thing I would like to just mention is in 1974, when the Lotus Building opened here in Sridhar Mayapur, I was here at that time, and the Lotus Building had just opened. And I remember, as one of the resident brahmacharis, before all the devotees come and before Srila Prabhupada came, Mayapur was very quiet. There's only about half a dozen devotees here, maybe half a dozen or a dozen at the most. It was very austere in those days. And then when all the devotees came, there was about, okay, one time I said 1,000, it felt like 1,000 devotees, but some devotees have corrected me and said it was maybe a few hundred devotees. But anyway, the Lotus Building was absolutely packed. It was packed, totally packed. And it was Mangal Aarti. And everyone was dancing and chanting very, very ecstatically. It was such a momentous historical occasion in the ISKCON World Headquarters in the history of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. This is one of Srila Prabhupada's biggest achievements. It was the biggest building. It was the biggest in every way. So that Mangal Aarti was led by His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. And he was singing like he had never sung before. I'm not sure where he got all that Shakti from, but But of course, he is a good kirtan leader, but that's not something that he would do so regularly. And it was an absolutely tumultuous Mangalati. I mean, everyone was literally more close to the ceiling than what they were to the floor, because they were dancing. Everyone was aerated. And if a devotee came in and he's still trying to overcome his sleep, suddenly the atmosphere was so contagious, you also started dancing and finding yourself going up and down and chanting very ecstatically the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the Samsara prayers. So after Mangalati, Tamal Krishna Maharaj went up to Srila Prabhupada's quarters, because Srila Prabhupada's room was just above the lotus building in the room upstairs. So, no, he's actually not on the first floor, the second floor. But he could hear everything. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he went up and he met Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada commented, says, that was a very, very ecstatic kirtan. And then Srila Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj something. He commented about that kirtan. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj came down, back down to the devotees, and immediately made an announcement. I think it was just after the Tulsi Devi, Tulsi Puja. And he said, Srila Prabhupada just said that the kirtan that was in the lotus building was so wonderful, it was so ecstatic. He said that to tell you, Srila Prabhupada said to tell you all that if you all keep chanting like that every day, then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself will personally come here and take you all back to Godhead. So all the devotees went, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So I just thought I would mention that, because it's in relationship to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we're still waiting for him to come and get us, right? So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in 1838 in a wealthy family in the Nadia district, West Bengal. He revealed that he is an eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his extraordinary preaching activities and prolific writing. Living as a Mahabharata Vaishnava, he stayed in the Grihastha Ashram until the last few years of his life. Then he renounced everything, accepted Babaji, and entered Samadhi, totally absorbed in the loving service of Gaur Gadadhara and Radha Madhava. Srila Prabhupada said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a responsible government position as the district magistrate, high court judge, maintained a Krishna conscious family, and wrote almost 100 books on Krishna consciousness. At the same time, he served the Supreme Lord in so many ways. That is the beauty of his life. After a full day of government service, he would sleep for 4 hours, get up at midnight, and write until morning. That was his daily program. Thakur Bhaktivinoda took Vaishnava Diksha from Sri Vipin Bihari Goswami in the line of Janava Mata. Afterwards, he received spiritual inspiration and direction from Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, which is actually a Shiksha connection. Holding an exalted government post, vast erudition and spiritual accomplishment never disturbed Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He remained prideless, always humble, friendly to all. Charity seekers at his home were always left happy and satisfied. He was a well-wisher to everyone. He never kept grudges, even with opponents to his preaching. In fact, he never spoke a word that would hurt another's feelings. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was the Shiksha Guru of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was always courageous and acted for everyone's welfare, keeping personal needs to a minimum. He led the simplest of lives. In the following entry from Sharanagati, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who had all the pure divine qualities, takes the role of a conditioned soul to teach us how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you should always absorb your mind in attentively chanting Krishna's glories. By performing Krishna Kirtan, you will gain mastery over the mind. Give up all false pride. Always think yourself worthless, destitute, lower and more humble than the straw in the street. Practice forgiveness like the tree, giving up all violence toward other living beings. You should maintain them. Throughout your life, you should never give anxiety to others, but do good to them, make them happy, and forget about your own happiness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Nabudvidam Mahatmya how Maya has actually created a special kind of Maya for Nabudvidam. And it's called Pramoda Maya, which is, although one is within the holy Dham, this Maya, Pramoda Maya, does not let the living entity establish a connection with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur very clearly explains that, as he explained here, that there are four obstacles to establishing that relationship with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, to overcome that Pramoda Maya. And if one can overcome those four obstacles, one can easily establish a relationship or sambandha, a relationship with Gauranga Mahaprabhu in the holy Dham. So he explains that there's four obstacles. The first one is that one should be, the first and the second, one should be, feel oneself very, very tiny, very small, very insignificant, lower than the straw in the street. One should think oneself tiny. And one should be more tolerant than the tree. So tiny and tolerant, the two T's. Think yourself tiny and think yourself tolerant. When one thinks he is big, then it's an obstacle. And if one is intolerant, then that is an obstacle. So what is that tolerance? Tolerate the urges of the senses. The urges of the senses, we tolerate. The senses are saying, I want this sense gratification. But the senses can be talking, we should be like a tree. The senses can talk and talk and talk, but the tree doesn't respond. The tree doesn't have the capacity to respond. So more tolerant than the tree. And one should always think oneself, never think oneself as the doer, but think oneself as very insignificant. So there's two. And then the other two obstacles or qualifications are that one should not want any respect for himself or herself. To not want any honor. This passion for honor is so deep-rooted that it's even more deep-rooted than gross physical desires. When one overcomes the physical maya, then one has to overcome the subtle maya. So the subtle maya is that one wants to receive some honor. And the fourth one is that always be prepared to give honor to others. Always praise the other Vaishnavas. If the other Vaishnavas are doing some wonderful service, we should actually acknowledge that. We should appreciate that. You can always tell a Vaishnava by the quality that he will appreciate another Vaishnava service. Just like in the spiritual world, the gopis, left-wing gopis, the right-wing gopis, they don't try to destroy each other, but they try to, but they always appreciate each other. Oh, you're doing such nice service for Krishna. Krishna must have really enjoyed. Now I will see if I can increase my service. You have enlivened me to increase my service so that I can also please Krishna. So these four qualifications, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that if one can overcome these four obstacles, then one immediately establishes a relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One immediately overcomes the Pramada Maya. One immediately, and that's why we're here, that's the objective. And then one immediately gets prema, Krishna prema. Krishna, what is that Krishna prema that we chant with feeling, we chant with ecstasy? When there's no ecstasy, that means one of those four things is an obstacle to our chanting. Just like we always, there's a when will my mind become purified? When will I chant the holy name of the Lord in ecstasy? So that ecstasy will come when those four obstacles have been overcome.
See, I've lost my...
So a little bit more about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, thus when you become a pious good soul by possessing all good qualities, you should give up desires for fame and honor and just make your heart humble. Knowing that Lord Sri Krishna lives within all living beings, you should respect and honor everyone at all times. Now sometimes this desire for fame and honor it doesn't mean that you should always keep quiet and say nothing. Sometimes the desire for fame and honor, you see that something is a problem, you don't say anything because you're afraid you might disrupt your fame and honor. That is also a desire for fame and honor. Sometimes the devotees have to be vocal about certain discrepancies. That's another side of the fame and honor coin. It's not that a devotee is free from desire and honor when he just turns a blind eye to everything. Because when we have to speak out about discrepancies, our fame and honor might come under question. But for a devotee, that is not a consideration. Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur would speak out against the Sahajiyas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would speak out against the all the nonsense devotees. And Srila Prabhupada would speak out against the Mayavadis. He was not afraid. He was not attached to fame and honor. Srila Prabhupada, he would go out preaching and he would say, this person is a Mayavadi. He would actually put his fame and honor on the line by pointing out the discrepancies with many famous personalities from India who were supposedly presenting spiritual concepts. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you will attain virtue by being humble, merciful, respecting others, and renouncing desires for fame and honor. In such a state, you should sing the glories of the Supreme Lord. Weeping, Bhaktivinoda submits his prayer at the lowest feet of the Lord. O Lord, when will you give me such qualities as these? So here I have a list of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's schedule. He would take, I mean, there are different schedules, but this is one schedule. It might be slightly this way, that way, but I think it's going to be fairly accurate. He would take rest at 8 p.m. at night time, and he would get up at 10. He would sleep for 2 hours. That's what it's saying in this report. From 10 p.m. right up to 4 p.m., 6 hours of writing. And all that writing is what we are relishing today. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs and his wonderful literatures. 4 a.m. to 4:30 a.m., he would take a half hour rest. And then from 4:30 a.m. to 7 a.m., he would engage in japa. 7 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., correspondence. 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m., study the shastras. 9:30 to 10, bath, prasadam, half a liter of milk, fruit, and 2 chapatis. 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., he would engage in his court duties as a magistrate. 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., he would refresh at home. 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., he would do his court duties again as a magistrate. 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., he would translate Sanskrit shastras to Bengali. So everybody has their own schedule. And that schedule must be centered around Srila Prabhupada's instructions, which is you cannot sleep during the Brahma Muhurta. That is absolutely forbidden. It is forbidden. No question about it. You cannot sleep at that time. There are 24 hours in the day. The Brahma Muhurta period is only about 3 hours a day. You cannot sleep at that time. None of the acharyas will sleep at that time. Even Krishna did not sleep at that time. It's explained in the Krishna book. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur sets the perfect example. It's explained in Krishna book that that Lord Krishna, he would get up 3 hours before sunrise, and then when the crows would go cock-a-doodle-loo and wake Krishna up, Krishna's wives, his queens, would be upset and they would be angry with the cocks, waking Krishna up, because Krishna would wake up and he would meditate. When we wake up, we meditate on Krishna, and when Krishna wakes up, he meditates on Krishna himself, because there's no one higher than Krishna. So Krishna is giving us the right example. Srila Prabhupada gave us the right example. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave us the right example. And as Srila Prabhupada said, if you do not rise early and chant 16 rounds and attend Mangal Aarti, all your other activities will fail. And he said it at least 10 to 15 times. And if anyone wants the references, just email me. I'll gladly send it to you. Because that's what he said. If somebody cannot get out of the bed in the morning at 4 o'clock, what is he doing? What is he doing? Where's the question of spiritual life if one does not have the shakti, the energy, to get out of the bed at that time? Because the acharyas have ordered us to do that. We have to follow that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the perfect example of rising early and engaging in sadhana. So, well, There's so many more things I want to say about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but I'll have to skip it and move on to Sri Gadadhar Pandit, because Sri Gadadhar, the pastimes and the story and the description of the personality of Sri Gadadhar Pandit is so wonderful that we really have to hear that glorification on this most auspicious occasion of his disappearance day. So, Sri Gadadhar Pandit was the constant companion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the time of their childhood. His father's name was Sri Madhava Mishra and his mother's name Sri Ratnavati Devi. They lived very near the house of Jagannath Mishra in Mayapur. Ratnavati Devi thought of Sachi Devi as her own sister and always used to visit her. During their childhood, Sri Gaura Hari and Gadadhar would play together, sometimes at Mahaprabhu's house and sometimes at Gadadhar's house. They both studied together at the same school. Gadadhar was a few years younger than Nimai. Nimai couldn't remain without Gadadhar even for a moment, and Gadadhar likewise couldn't stand to be separated from Nimai. In the Gaura Ganadas Deepika, it is described that the person who in Vraj was the daughter of Sri Vishabhanu Raj, namely Srimati Radharani, is now celebrated as Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Srila Swarup Damodar has written in his diary, Lord Gaurasundar, who is beyond the purview of the scriptures, beyond the entire Brahman, and above even the Vedas, can never be known by the atheist whose intelligence is dull. Lord Nityananda is his eternal self. Lord Chaitanya is Lord Govinda himself, and Pandit Gadadhar is none other than Sri Radha. The divine couple who are present in Sri Chaitanya are a well of rasa. Advaita Acharya Sadasiva has prayed for his descent. Within he is blackish but of a golden hue without the manifestation of the divine couple. Thus Vasudev Ghosh sings of the beauty of this divine couple, Sri Gaura Gadadhar, in whose worship he has been completely subjugated. He prays that he will desire to serve them both, birth after birth. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we likewise find Pandit Bhav. The emotions and expressions of Pandit Gadadhar are not possible to describe. Another name of Lord Gauranga is the Lord of the Life of Gadadhar. Who can understand what mercy has been bestowed upon him? Their glories are sung by everyone as Gadai Gauranga. During the time when Ishwara Puri was present for a few months in Navadvipa at the house of Gopinath Acharya, he taught Gadadhar from the book he had composed, Sri Krishna Lilamrita. Gadadhar was from his very childhood very serene, patient, calm, quiet, fond of solitude and very renounced. Nimai Pandit, during the time of his precocious youth, would ask his fellow students meaningless, fallacious questions in logic. Gadadhar, however, was not especially fond of this pastime, and therefore he sometimes used to remain at some distance from Nimai. But Nimai wouldn't allow him to get away. He would tell him, Gadadhar, in a very short time, I'll become such a Vaishnava that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva themselves will come to my door. she, Gadada Pandit, was very affectionate towards Mukunda Dutt. Whenever any Vaishnava came to Navadvip, Mukunda would inform Gadada and they would both go to have darshan. One time, Pundarik Vijayanidhi came from Katagram to Navadvip, and Mukunda invited Gadada to come along and meet him. Gadada was very excited to meet such a Vaishnava, and thus the two of them happily set out together to take advantage of Sadhu Sangha with the famous Pundarik Vijayanidhi. However, when Gadada saw that Pundarik Vijayanidhi dressed and acted like a wealthy materialist, he lost whatever reverence he had previously felt even before speaking with him. Gadada thought to himself, how can a Vaishnava look and act as if he was so addicted to sense enjoyment? However, Mukunda knew the real character of Pundarik Vijayanidhi, and he could also sense the doubts in the mind of Gadada Pandit. Thus he recited some slokas from the Srimad Bhagavatam in a very sweet voice. When Pundarik Vijayanidhi heard his beautiful recitation of these slokas, in a fit of ecstasy, he began to cry while calling, Krishna, Krishna, and finally fainted away on the floor. Gadada now felt very remorseful in his mind. He thought to himself, because I have ignorantly considered this highly advanced soul to be an ordinary materialist, what an offense I have committed. In order that I might be saved from the reaction of this offense, I think the only solution is to accept initiation from him. Gadada Pandit submitted his proposal to Mukunda, who presented it to Pundarik Vijayanidhi with a full account of the Pandit's high qualifications. Hearing this proposal, Pundarik became very happy. Providence has bestowed upon me a great jewel. Certainly, I will accept him. You shouldn't have any doubt about that. It is the result of many lifetimes of good fortune that one gets a disciple like this, Sri Gadada Pandit. On an auspicious day, Sri Gadada Pandit received the divine mantra from Pundarik Vijayanidhi. I just want to mention that on an auspicious day. It's very important that we do things on an auspicious day. Now this seems like a little bit of a deviation from the thrust of the class, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur set up, he was a great astrologer, and he instituted for his institution for the Gaudiya Math, the Navadvip Panchika. And in the Navadvip Panchika, it describes all the Shubha and Ashubha, all the auspicious and inauspicious days for traveling, for initiations, for even cutting your nails, for shaving your head, and so on and so forth. So, it's noted here that they selected an auspicious day for the initiation. So, this is part of the Vedic culture that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to include within his ISKCON movement, because it was included by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and we find it included here in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's just a little sideline comment there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon going to Gayadham, first began to manifest Krishna prema. Then he entered the pastime of accepting the shelter of Ishwara Puri. After returning to his house, he began to exhibit a new life. Day and night he floated in the ocean of love of Krishna. Gadada, upon seeing the Lord showering off tears in love for Krishna, also began to cry in ecstatic love. From this time, Gadada Pandit was always at Mahaprabhu's side. One day, Sri Gadada brought some pan to Sri Gauranga, who, in an exuberance of emotion, asked him, Gadada, where is that beautiful blackish boy who was dressed in yellow garments? After asking this, he began to shed tears. Gadada couldn't immediately think of what to say. He finally respectfully suggested, he is in your heart. He is in your heart. Hearing this, Mahaprabhu began to tear at his chest with his nails. But Gadadhar quickly grabbed his hands. Mahaprabhu said to him, Gadadhar, let go of my hands. I cannot remain a moment more not seeing Krishna. Gadadhar replied, just try to be a little patient and calm yourself. Krishna will come any minute now. Hearing this, Mahaprabhu became somewhat composed. Satchimata heard all this from a distance and then came running there. Being very pleased with Gadadhar, she declared, though he is just a boy, he is very intelligent. I am frightened to go before my son when he is in these moods. But Gadadhar has very cleverly pacified him. Satchimata told Gadadhar, Gadadhar, you must please remain with Nimai always. If you stay with him, then I won't have to worry. One day, Sri Gadadhar, having heard that Mahaprabhu will speak Krishna Katha at Shuklambara Brahmachari's house, went there and sat down inside. Meanwhile, Mahaprabhu arrived outside on the veranda and began to speak about Krishna to an audience of devotees there. Gadadhar Prabhu listened from within the house. Soon, Mahaprabhu became totally absorbed in the ecstasy of Krishna praying, which quickly spread to the assembly of devotees. For some time, they continued to taste the mellows of love of Krishna together and then becalmed themselves. Gadadhar, however, couldn't restrain his ecstasy. With his head bowed down, he continued to cry very loudly. Hearing his pitiful sobbing, Mahaprabhu inquired, who is crying within the room? Suklambara Brahmachari replied, you are Gadadhar. Mahaprabhu exclaimed, Gadadhar, you are so pious and virtuous. Since your very childhood, you were so devoted to Krishna. My life has been wasted. Due to my previous evil activities, I cannot get the association of the Lord of my life, Sri Krishna. Saying this, Mahaprabhu embraced Gadadhar in great love. When Mahaprabhu began his pastimes in Navadvip, Gadadhar was his chief companion. Now what is going to be described is the internal mood of Gadadhar and how as the personification of Radharani, she is experiences the two moods of the left wing and the white and the right wing of a left wing and right wing gopi. Radha Krishna of Vraja now sporting on the banks of the Ganga as Gadai Gauranga, and the cowherd boyfriends of Vraj are assisting his pastimes of kirtan. One day, after roaming throughout the town of Navadvip, Mahaprabhu came to a forest and seated himself there. Then he began to remember his pastimes in Vraj. Mukunda began to sing Purvavag, courtship songs, or Madhurya Rasa songs, in a very sweet voice, while Gadadhar collected some flowers from that forest and, after stringing a garland, placed it on Mahaprabhu's neck. Previously, in the way that Sri Radha used to decorate Sri Krishna, Gadadhar began to dress Mahaprabhu in the exact same manner. Some were singing beautiful songs, while others began to dance in a very graceful style. Then Sri Gaurasunda, taking Gadadhar by his side, seated himself on a dais at the base of one tree, while Advaita Acharya began to offer aarti. Nityananda seated himself on Prabhu's right side, and Srivas Pandit began to decorate everyone with the flower garlands. Nadahari was fanning that divine couple with a whisk made from the tail hairs of forest cows. Suklamba decorated them all with a sandalwood paste, while Murari Gupta recited the Premitvani prayers. Narava, Vasudev, Purushottam, Vijay and Mukunda began to sing songs in various ragas. Then Mahaprabhu closed his pastimes in Nadia. As per his mother's request, he took up his residence at Nilachala. Gadadhar also went there to live at this time. He engaged himself in the service of Tota Gopinath. Mahaprabhu would very often visit his dear friend Gadadhar and lose himself in discussions on the topics of Krishna. The temple of Sri Tota Gopinath is located near the ocean of Yameshwar. When Lord Chaitanya traveled to Sri Vrindavan, Gadadhar, not being able to bear separation from him, wanted to go also, but Mahaprabhu reminded him of his vow of Kshetra Sannyas, by which he was to remain permanently in Sri Kshetra, in the service of Sri Gopinath, and sent him back. Sri Gadadhar Pandit would regularly recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Gaurasundar, along with his associates, would listen. Then one might ask a question: if Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna combined, where is the necessity for the appearance of Gadadhar Pandit? The answer to this is that it has been explained that Mahaprabhu is Krishna in search of the loving sentiment of Radha for Krishna. Sri Gadadhar Pandit represents that Bhav personified, and thus he has appeared to be at the side of Mahaprabhu to assist him in his search. In this explanation, Gadadhar gives his unalloyed love to Lord Gauranga willingly. It has also been explained that Krishna has stolen the Bhav of Radha and appears as Mahaprabhu, Radha and Krishna combined. Gadadhar represents that which is left of Radha after Gadadhar represents that which is left of Radha after Krishna steals her bhav. The mood is that seeing that neither Sri Radha nor Sri Krishna appear on the Purnima Tithi, full moon, but when the divine couple combine as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this appearance in the world occurs in the Purnima in Navadvipa. Sri Gadadhar Pandit appears on the new moon and leaves the world on the same day. New moon means new moon, dark moon or Amavasya Tithi. He also appeared in a land that is desert-like, dry and vacant, in contrast to the lush Ganga basin of Navadvipa. All of this indicates the condition of the heart or nature of Sri Gadadhar. He is thus feeling empty and lets everyone know about it too. It is said that what remains in him is the Bhava of Rukmini, who is Radha's expansion in Dwaka. Thus, his surface mood in Gauralila Lila, Gadadhar's surface mood in Gauralila is like that of a Dakshini right-wing gopi rather than a Vama left-wing gopi. Vama type is a little aggressive in nature and fights with the lover. However, to prove Gadadhar's declaration as right-wing, he is submissive to the extreme Dakshin type tolerance to the extreme. Dakshin type tolerates everything, whatever comes. Only with a defensive attitude he stands. That is Dakshina path. That is as in the Srimati Rukmini Devi. So when the spirit of Radharani of that opposing nature was drawn out by Mahaprabhu, then what remains is compared like that of Rukmini as a passive seer without any power to assert, only an onlooker. An onlooker and bearing everything, a very pitiable condition. The idea is to awaken kindness and sympathy from everyone. What he is and what is she and what is her position now, and now her lover has taken up everything from her, looted everything from her, leaving her as a beggar wandering in the street. So much looted, Radharani, when looted to such a degree by Krishna, that becomes Gadadhar, the pitiable figure. The wealth, of course, cannot go forever. She is the proprietor, owner, cannot be far off. After a long time, that must come to her again, one day. And those that are helping her in her day of distress, they will get much remuneration at that time, when she will get back all her property. Just as in Vraj, Srimati Radharani is the queen and proprietor of everything, so Gadadhar is master of everything. But still, here, he has given everything to his master, and thus, in one sense, he is empty. This mood of his being empty is unique. He is playing in such a way as his part or play as Gadadhar Pandit. He is the highest position of self-sacrifice. Nimai Pandit showed his character as an aggressor, impertinent, and an extraordinary genius. Gadadhar Pandit was just the opposite. He had some natural inclination that was in his submission and total dedication towards Nimai Pandit. And Nimai Pandit also had some special attraction for Gadadhar Pandit. But Gadadhar Pandit could not face Nimai Pandit directly. Some sort of shyness he felt about Nimai Pandit. So this is what we know about Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit had very intimate relationship with Mahaprabhu, in which the acharyas Farooq Damodar, Rupa, Sanatan, Kaviraj Goswami, Rupa, Raghunath Das, and all of them could see Radharani and Rukmini both in his personality. And according to that, we can try to understand him. Sri Gadadhar Pandit ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gopremanande. Sorry? Where am I reading from? These are some notes that I had in my collection. I'll have to find the reference. I'll email it to you or anyone else who wants it. Sorry about that. Sorry. Yes, for real. So the question is, why Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur is worshipping Guru Gadadhar more than Guru Nitai? It's the choice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The choice of Srila Bhakti. It's it's the choice of the acharyas, because Srila Prabhupada introduced to us, you know, much more the worship of Guru Nitai. Whereas in the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Math, we see Guru Gadadhar. But from what we read today, we can understand the significance of the Guru Gadadhar worship, which is non-different from Radha and Krishna. And so why the emphasis was given more? I mean, Jani, no? Does anybody else know? Yeah? What's your name, Prabhu? Hallelujah.
So, last time I was Thank you.
No way.
Actually, that's a very, very good explanation, and I can confirm that as well, because I also read that Gorgodatta worship is for only for those devotees who are situated on the platform of Madhurya Ras. It's very esoteric, and it's very for those devotees who are very advanced. So that should have been the answer that I gave you, but also so for preaching. Gaunitai do not consider any offences in their worship, but it is specifically stated that the worship of Gorgodatta is only for those who are very advanced. So Srila Prabhupada, that was probably the reason why Srila Prabhupada did not introduce that Gorgodatta worship, which is essentially Radha Krishna worship, whereas Gaunitai is Gaunitai, who are preaching to Jagai and Madai. So yeah, thank you for that good answer. You reminded me of the other part of the answer. Yes, sir. Succession based on shiksha, and why, and the other parts are based on diksha. One explanation that Srila Prabhupada gives it, both the diksha and shiksha gurus are both equal manifestations of Krishna. So if they are both equal manifestations of Krishna, there is no difference between diksha or shiksha. So it's not that it has to be all diksha or that it has to be all shiksha, because Srila Prabhupada explains that they are both equal manifestations of Krishna. Is it possible that in the future of ISKCON there may be some shiksha branches? If I was Trikalagya, I could probably answer that question. It says in the Bhagavatam first canto that even great philosophers do not know what the future holds. Of course there are astrologers, very good astrologers. One astrologer predicted that Srila Prabhupada would, this is when Srila Prabhupada was a youth, in his youth, that he would be a great preacher and open 108 temples throughout the world. That's an amazing prediction. Anyway, so is there anyone here who is competent to give a prediction of that kind, that whether or not we'll have any shiksha?
I find it that logically is authorized.
Okay, so if you put that, add that to the question, if it did take place, would it be authorized? Well, let's take a hypothetical situation that the GBC crashed out. They said, this is hypothetical, but nobody need follow the four regular principles from day onwards, right? They completely lost it. So somebody in the future says, okay, I'm going to pick up the pieces and I'm going to start my disciplic succession, and there will be no Diksha connection. So it's on those grounds it would be possible. Because that in fact is what has happened to our disciplic succession. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur picked up all the pieces. So possible, but we pray to Krishna that it doesn't happen. Gana Gandhi Prabhu? Ganagami Prabhu is making is a very valid point that, and I will kind of sum it up in it like this, that what actually, I'll sum it up with a slight addition, that what actually connects us with the disciplic succession is following the process. Many people have taken Diksha, but if they're not following the process, are they connected with the disciplic succession? Absolutely not. There are many devotees who have not taken formal initiation. They have not taken any initiation yet, but they are following the process. Are they connected with the disciplic succession? Absolutely. So it is to the degree that we are following the process, it's to that degree and that degree only are we connected with the Parampara disciplic succession. And that can be done. So Diksha, Shiksha, whatever ceremony one might, Shiksha ceremony or Diksha ceremony one might undergo, does not necessarily connect us. Only we can connect ourselves by following the process. What is that process? We follow the four regular principles, we rise early in the morning, and part of that process is also accepting a spiritual master. So one should seek out a bona fide spiritual master, but if one cannot find a bona fide spiritual master in which he can put his faith, then he only need follow the process, and then Krishna will provide. When one is looking for a spiritual master, Krishna will provide. So, yeah. Someone else? Yeah, Prabhuji. That's a very good point, is that, and there's even a lot of emphasis now, some devotees have been giving some classes and pushing, giving the emphasis that Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru for ISKCON. Now, for the next 10,000 years, for as long as its commitments are maintained, is in existence. So Prabhupada's books have been specially preserved by the Bhaktivedanta archives. They're putting them into some kind of preservation that will ensure that they will last. Even if the whole world blows up, Srila Prabhupada's books will survive. So that's a very good point, that Srila Prabhupada's Shiksha will always be there for everybody. Srila Prabhupada's, it's amazing actually. You can just pick up Srila Prabhupada's books and you read one purport, and many devotees have had the experience, they have a question comes into their mind. Oh, what's that question? And somehow or other they open up Prabhupada's books and they open it up right on the page and they get their questions answered by Srila Prabhupada through his books. So all the answers are there in Srila Prabhupada's books. He's alive, his Vani is more important than his Vapu. So Srila Prabhupada's Vani, Srila Prabhupada's Shiksha will ensure that the ISKCON movement will prevail. Because if, you know, God forbid, you know, it goes the direction, the top management goes right off the tracks, somebody else will pick up the books and start following Srila Prabhupada's Shiksha. But from my limited perspective, I think that Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON movement right now is in very good hands. ISKCON is certainly not perfect. ISKCON was never perfect when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet. ISKCON will never be perfect, but ISKCON right now is perfect enough. ISKCON is perfect enough to take any sincere soul back to Godhead in this lifetime. And that is the perfection of ISKCON. So, because Srila Prabhupada's Shiksha is what predominates in ISKCON today. And it's not perfect. I mean, it's not like everything's hunky-dory. It never will be. There's always going to be some rocking on the boat. We're on the boat of the ISKCON boat, and we're in the material ocean, and there's going to be some stormy weather. And there was stormy weather in the past, then there'll be stormy weather in the future. But somehow or other, the ISKCON boat is still going strong. We haven't taken over the world, but we are gradually increasing, and the presence of Srila Prabhupada's Shiksha is predominant. Everywhere we go, we find everybody reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Jai Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Sri Ganadha Panda ki jai, Nitai Gopinandi.